Welcome to the WFO Life Podcast. Buckle up for interviews, insights, and practical discussions, and the occasional intellectual oddity, all designed to help you master self, master craft, and accomplish any life mission.
Got the record button going. How are you tonight, Chris?
A little bit tired, but fulfilled, I guess. It's back from a quick trip to D.C. that popped up, but it was good.
Yeah, so you had to, like a work trip, go visit the Pentagon, that type of thing?
Yeah, it was a interesting thing where my boss was kind of called up there to speak on a couple topics with a, you know, bigger boss, you know, like a three-star general, and we were flies on the wall in case it went down a rabbit hole. And you know, I was joking with my direct boss, so essentially it was my boss's boss, I guess, depending on how you see it, was up there to give the brief. But he, you know, my direct boss and me went up there, and I joked ahead of time. I said, the less we have to talk, I'll say probably the better the brief is going to go, because we were right there. You know, we were essentially there for backup in case it got really in a rabbit hole. And so I only had to say a couple sentences, and my boss only had to say a couple sentences. And so I'd say it was a victory. And then
so you have to run interference for him, sort of like be the backup. What you got more details probably than they have most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, they're talking, you know, overall, I guess you'd say, strategy and policy. And if it said, if like one of the guys or girls asked, you know, hey, how does the mechanism of that work, or what does that look like, how long does it take, those type of things, or what we were there to answer. And then it went well. And then I ended the night by riding electric scooters around Washington, D.C. to get back to our hotel with my boss. So that was interesting. I posted a map on Facebook of where we went. It took us an hour to go 5 miles on electric scooters, which was kind of fun, but a little treacherous driving in the dark around D.C. in an electric scooter.
Like, you in a full uniform and everything?
No, I was just in civilian clothes at that point, but it was pretty hilarious.
You could have ran that faster than that, you know that. Right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a yeah.
Or walked it probably.
Yeah, it was like about five. It was like 5 miles an hour. I definitely, but you know, we were like after dinner, and you know, we had taken an Uber there, but you know, a wild hair got up our butts, and we were like, okay, let's just do this. And
yeah, let's look cool and ride on these scooters.
Yeah, it was a little treacherous, but it was fun. So
I bet. Yeah. Very cool. Well, I'm going to do something a little different tonight. I wanted to, you know, I had sent you, I don't know, it must have been a week or two ago, I sent you this little link I found as I was, kind of scrolling through Twitter. I always look for folks that are out there that are, you know, I don't know, kind of pushing the envelope as far as the thought processes go, as far as trying to get people to, you know, get the most out of life, that type of thing. And I came across a guy, and I have not reached out to this individual. I think I will, but I think it's more fun to talk about what he said and then maybe use his material there and kind of expand on it for the purposes of the WFO Life podcast.
Yeah, I like the it. Talk about him behind his back before.
That's
he
right.
Has a
We're
going to
talk about him behind his back, but I really thought some of what he said in one of these little posts. He does. Now I'm going to read one here in a minute, but it's like this is the style that he puts out. You know, it's this kind of hard hitting, you know, stuff, and it's like, but like it gets it. You thinking, and that's what I wanted to do tonight. I mean, we're two guys that often think a lot about what we're doing with our lives and where we're going and how we're trying to accomplish our life mission and that type of thing. And that's kind of what this guy challenges people to do. So his name is Ralph Napolitano, and he goes by at Dr. Dr. Ralph Knapp, N-A-P. So Dr. Ralph Knapp. Don't know what he's a doctor of, but that's what it is. Mm-hmm. He says here as his title, Old School Life Lessons from the Real Little Italy of New York City. And he says he likes to dish out old school life lessons, and he likes to become mentally tough enough to overcome any obstacle and create a legacy of greatness for generations to come. That sounds like pretty big stuff. Sounds also very similar to maybe some of the language we might use with the WFO Life podcast.
Oh, yeah. It's intriguing for sure from the get-go. Yeah.
So here's the quote I want us to consider. Maybe we could go point by point.
Okay.
But I'll read it head to toe first, and then maybe we can kind of come back over things. So here he says, Ralph Napolitano, if you had more out of life, if you want more out of life, you have to, and these are the following points, challenge yourself, be hard on yourself, raise your standards, respect yourself, accept your flaws, seek knowledge, burn your past, and be your own best friend. Life is hard. Excuses are easy. Keep moving forward. Capiche? That's it. So I guess let's do the, let's discuss this one by first blush. When you hear that, what's your first impression?
I think it's good because it's meaty, but there's a lot of things to unpack in there. It reminds me of somebody we talked about before, like Seth Godin, right? I mean, his posts and his blog entries are kind of like that, where it might only be a couple hundred words or less, but if you really ponder it, it's almost like a psalm in the Bible, right? There's all these little short phrases that have a lot in there. So I think I like it that it's easy to digest, but then when you start to uncover it, you're like, wow, okay, each one of these could, you know, there's whole books written on each one of these, right?
So yeah, layered nuances of you can sort of fill in the blanks, which is what, when I read this, and this is the reason we went down this road, is the reason I wanted to talk about it is because each one of these points has layers to it. And each person, I think anybody that reads this, or if you think out loud yourself, if you want more out of life, you have to. And you start going through these, you start to realize, yeah, that can be different for each person. We all have different flaws, standards, all these different types of things. And exactly, he's spot on. Life is hard. Excuses are easy. Keep moving forward. Very reminiscent of some of the others we've talked about, you know, the David Goggins and these types of folks. It's a very similar attitude that you know, sometimes life is just hard and you have to, you know, make decisions and move forward. So let's start with number one. He says, so the first thing to get more out of life is to challenge yourself. And I guess I'll start out with that by saying that when I reflect back on my life, everything that I look back on that was good or a major accomplishment always started with me challenging myself, always willing to take on something that seems a little bit bigger than yourself. And I can think back to maybe even, you know, just when you go to, I'm going to go to college, I want to be a doctor. Mm-hmm. That is a point in my life where I had to say, you know, people say that's hard. You know, when I was a freshman in medical school at my university, about 5,000 students were pre-med students the first semester. And after that, there was about 500. And after the second weed-out class, about 200 people graduated as pre-medical students from the university. When I remember hearing that, I remember how they told us, oh, how hard it is. And there's like 6,000, you know, students applying for every one spot in medical school. And I remember a time in my life where I thought, man, you know, I'm a pretty good student. You know, I'm pretty smart. It seems like I should be, but 6,000 to one, you know, it seems really outrageous, you know. But I decided that's it. I'm just going to burn the boat and, you know, challenge myself. And I don't know. What do you think about that?
So I like to, frame things practically, right? And yep. I think some of the challenge of challenging yourself is a lot of people feel challenged in their normal daily life, right? To get up early, or, you know, get up whenever you get up to take on the day, whatever that looks like. And so for some people, it might be, you know, I guess the station you're at in life, you know, making ends meet, dealing with relationships, health issues. And so I think a lot of times people don't frame their own existence like this, right? They think, okay, I'm already challenged. I'm tired. I'm, you know, overworked. I don't have enough money. I have a crappy relationship. And so I think that's why when I was thinking about unpacking that, there's a lot of meat there, right? Because in a lot of the discussions we have, when we're talking about, you know, us trying to be high performers, or, you know, talking to professional athletes and coaches, that's a whole nother look at things. And I think practically, sometimes daily life can be challenging enough for people. So to go the next step and say, well, I can get more out of life by challenging myself is not even in their thought process, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. Yeah, it absolutely does.
So it's anyway, so yeah, I mean, it's I think it's easier said than done in a lot of cases because of just what people are dealing with, but that doesn't mean that it's not important. And like you were saying, the best things that most people have memories of are overcoming challenges, and because that, I mean, builds your self-confidence and starts to, I guess, build a mental resume of things that you've been successful at, but they were hard, you know?
Yeah, incrementally harder tasks, and then eventually you're doing pretty crazy and incredible things because you're willing to take one little step further.
Sure.
So the second one was be hard on yourself. When I saw this, I think that a lot of times, I'm going to speak for myself, I probably am hard on myself. I don't know if that's a quality or a liability. Probably at some points in my life, it's been a liability. I tend to be quite hard and critical of my own effort, my own accomplishments. So, I mean, people might look at me externally and say, well, you know, you're pretty successful. You know, you got a lot going on and good family and you got a good career and athletic and all these kind of things. But the reality is, in my mind, I'm like, man, I really could have done better on that. You know, and I think there's a certain fine line that a person has to get to where you do have to be critical of yourself. You can't be soft. You can't allow yourself just to like, well, you know, instead of like doing whatever's going to move me forward in the world, what, you know, keep my fitness or, you know, do hard things occasionally, be hard, push myself. Instead of that, you know, sometimes people are just soft and they you know, blob out on Netflix or whatever and just don't push themselves. They give themselves these excuses and then make up more excuses for why they don't get anything done in the world.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is about context because, you know, I went to go, my daughter's basketball practice got canceled. And so I was like, hey, let's go to the school playground and, you know, get our own hour in of practice.
Crush some burpees.
This was more specific to basketball, you know. So So I was like, hey, your basketball practice is canceled, so let's go, you know, still get that hour in of basketball skills. So we dribbled the ball like about half a mile to the playground at the school close by. And she's very hard on herself. So it can be, I'm just using this almost as like a metaphor, right? So she misses, you know, two out of her first three shots and she's, you know, putting her hands on her head like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm missing, you know? And I tell her, hey, that's why we're out here. I said, you know, there's professional basketball players that, you know, have entire games. You know, LeBron James had an entire game where he only made, you know, less than a third of his shots. So, right. I mean, kind of, you know, putting your hands up on your head like the sky is falling and your first few shots is ridiculous. You know, you're getting inside your own head and being hard on yourself in that way. So I'm using that as an example because I think it's good doing it the way that you were talking about where – you're being analytical. You're being, you know, and we've talked about it. And I think I talked about it in my first leadership monologue where I was talking about, you know yourself and seek self-improvement.
Right.
You know,
right.
So I think if you do it systematically and do it to get better and build yourself up, it's one thing. But if you're being hard on yourself, like, oh, I always screw things up. You know, I can never, you know, maintain a relationship. You know, I'm always broke. That's not helpful. Yeah. What's helpful is like, hey, I want to have a budget. I want to, you know, seek out people that I have things in common with, and we have common goals to get in a better relationship. So I think it's all about the structure of it because it can be self-defeating and hurt your self-esteem if you don't have an end state to it. I guess.
Yeah, that's called an ant or an automatic negative thought, and I think that's the dark side of it. When you're too hard on yourself and you start hearing that negative voice, like I can't do this, I can't do that. That is that's the negative side of it. And you know, some of the most successful people in the world are super hard on themselves.
Well, and I was thinking,
you know, even to, like I said, like to a fault.
Yeah, I was thinking about, and another good example is, you know, the world I work in is really run by, you know, naval aviators, you know, Marine and Navy pilots, and typically when they're going to go on a mission, whether it be combat or just in training, a couple hours before the actual flight, which may only be an 1 to 2 hours, in and of itself, that they'll go through every single aspect, like what's the weather like, what's the intent of the mission, what's the intent of the training, and then they'll go do the flight. And then, so one, I guess, typically junior person will be briefing, the senior person that's overseeing the flight or helping them, get their checks in the box or what have you. And then, so they'll brief the flight, they'll do the flight, and then afterwards, sometimes it'll take an hour or more to debrief, like, what went right, what went wrong, what are we going to work on next time? So it's, just for 1 to 2 hours of execution, there's like a couple hours before and a couple hours after where they really, pick things apart. And so, but that is the good side of what we were just talking about. It's systematic, it's built in. Even if you had the perfect, the most perfect flight or most perfect mission, you're still going to, do that, be hard on yourself, because, you can always be a little bit better. So I think that that's a positive way to do it. You build in, critiques to make sure that you're, holding yourself to a high enough standard.
Yeah, but it doesn't change who you are as a person necessarily.
No,
it's not,
no.
You don't have to be hard on yourself personally, but you're focusing on the task. And it's more like you're sharpening the blade by saying, how can we, prevent problems in advance, but then after, when they look at it, it's not, man, you really screwed up that maneuver or whatever. It's like, that's not really what they're doing. They're looking at, how can I make that maneuver better?
Yeah.
We're all going to make mistakes, or we're going to try to get as close to perfection as we can, but understand that that's not always possible.
Yeah, critique is built in. So, and we can do that, I think, in our lives. And we've talked about it, at the beginning of the day or end of the day, kind of self-assessing, even as simple as like a checklist. Like, these are things, like, at the lowest level that I want to get done today. And then at the end of the day, you're like, what did I get done? What do I need to do for tomorrow? So you're building in, ways to hold yourself accountable.
Hey, side note, as we're moving through these and we're on the Ralph Napolitano's How to Get More Things Out of Life, these sound very stoic. What do you think? Yeah. I think they sound very, like, there's a lot of stoic philosophy themes behind some of these we're covering tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was thinking that before we went on, I was trying to get my mind right, and I read, kind of the daily stoic, thought for the day. And it talked about a little bit about that. It was like, it was a protect your peace of mind. There's a lot of that, built in there. What are you subjecting yourself to? How are you managing difficulties? So absolutely, that it's kind of dripping with some stoicism there.
Absolutely. What do you think about the idea of getting more out of life? You have to raise your standards.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. I think tougher when you've been successful, right? I think it's you can look at it in careers, companies, sports teams. Sometimes someone or an organization gets to the pinnacle and then they never get back. Or I think it's really evident when there's a self-made millionaire or billionaire and their children, even though they've been handed a stacked deck, never meet the success of their matriarch or patriarch of the family because they weren't forced to work their way up and doing it themselves. So I think, raising your standards and, it's tougher when you're there, when you've kind of made it, So I think a lot of us, we think about, raising your standards to get to a certain level, but, sometimes I think it's more difficult, cause everybody's like, hey, I'm working hard, I'm getting that next rung, that's raising your standards. But then if you're already, on the way up, you can rest on your laurels. So I think it's even more important, as you experience some success.
Yeah. So. When I read this, and we started out, we talked about how these could be unpacked. It was one of the reasons we covered this little tweet that was put out. Mm-hmm. When I read this, I thought, okay, what standards? We could be talking about faith, friends, goals, diet, fitness, language, life, missions. I mean, I could go on, but the idea is, like, where are your standards in any of those categories? Let's take dietary standards. you know, we all know that what we eat is how we repair our bodies. And as we've talked about in other episodes, when, you know, I've done these health corner topics with Dr. Sullivan, we're always talking about how nutrition and how you feed the body and that builds your health. What are your standards? You know, are you going to accept that you're going to eat crap and expect that your health is going to be good and you're going to have plenty of energy? No, you're not. It's a standard. You know, raise your standards.
Yeah, and it's hard to raise your standard if you don't have one, right?
You don't have one at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I think that happens with time and happens with some people's budgets. You know, it's like if you don't have a goal or a standard, then, you know, how are you measuring your progress or what you're doing or not doing? So in some cases, it's like, geez, just establishing a standard, you know, can be raising your standards because you have one.
Open this up further. I mean, think about this. I often think about this. Friends, let's talk about raising standards in your friends. I know people that come to see me in clinic that they are being drawn down in their life. They are accomplishing less, incurring more obstacles, struggling more in their life because of the people they choose to spend time with. It can lead to legal problems or, you know, all kinds of stuff, just negativity that's drawing you down, situations. You know, and I look at you, Chris, we've been friends a long time. When I think of you, and this is all, with all due respect, I think of you as somebody who makes my life better because I know you hold yourself to a very high standard. And so when I'm around you and I talk to you and we have conversations and we share ideas, those ideas are on another plateau. They're on another level because we're always constantly trying to, I know you to be a person who's trying to take that higher road, trying to do a little more, trying to accomplish a little bit more, hold a higher standard for yourself personally, for how you run your family, how you run your command, all of those things. I know that about you. I have other friends like that, and I carefully curate those friends around me, and that's like a standard. It is a standard, and those people can make you better, as is in the case with you. You make me a better person because I look at you and go, okay, that guy's got something going on. I like what he said there. I like his attitude and how he holds himself and what he does in these scenarios in his life. I have lots of other friends like that that I carefully curate. And I've had others where I said, that's not so much for me. Below where I want to be.
Yeah, I was going to say the feeling is mutual with you. And I think that every now and then I reflect on it when I have a cool experience. Whether I have a conversation with you or, you know, when I was in D.C., I actually got to have lunch with a friend of mine that's a special agent in the FBI who you know. And, you know, every now and then I think, you know, obviously there's something social that I, you know, liked about these people, whether it be you or him or other people. But I think it's almost like a cool side benefit that, you know, the things you mentioned, like when you have friends that you feel like are challenging you or, you know, making you mentally stronger, emotionally stronger, you know, challenging you to do better things with diet and exercise. And so I think I think Tim Ferriss stole it from somebody, but he said, you know, you're what the average of the three people that you spend the most time with, you know, whether that be physically or, you know, virtually. And I think that there's a lot of truth to that. And, you know, if you can, you know, have good personal relationships, but at the same time, you know, have those other things. I mean, that's like a cool way to, I think, live your life, you know, whether that be your spouse or, you know, friends that you make along the way, or even like family members, you know, kind of gleaning. My brother came to visit and I don't get to see him that often. And so I think that, you know, definitely, you know, raising your standards by the people you choose to spend time with is a really good way to do it. So.
Yeah, I mean, we can unpack numerous of those, but I think the two examples we gave, diet, friends, things like that, I think those are good examples of raising standards, you know, and how that can work in a person's life. You're going to get more out of things when you're looking a little bit higher. It's not that you're better than other people. It's that you're holding your own efforts, your own decisions, your own goals in a higher plateau. And, you know, I don't know, I'm going to botch this one, but, you know, they say, like, you know, if you want to get to the stars, don't shoot for the moon, you know, I'm botching it completely. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you have to shoot far enough to get at least to the target the minimum target you're shooting for. And I think that's kind of a great place to, start is by raising your standards. Okay, so looks like number four on the list of if you want to get more out of life, you have to. The next one was respect yourself. Thoughts?
So sometimes when I hear this one, I think it's a little base and self-serving, because I think it's thrown out there too often without a lot of weight behind it. But I think for me, I know it's important, but I think a good example is, people might think they love or respect themselves, but then you look at the choices they make, and in a lot of cases, like most people, they take the easy road or maybe cut a few too many corners. And so, whether that be at work, relationships, fitness. I mean, I think one of the first things that, especially if you're in a professional job or even a mom or a dad, the way that you carry yourself and take care of yourself is huge. So I think it almost starts, like you probably see in your practice, being a doctor, is if somebody's not willing to make basic, health and fitness decisions, then that shows a fundamental lack of respect for themselves, but they probably don't often see it like that.
Bingo. Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the first
thing. Got another thought along those lines. There's a book out written by a Dr. Gabor Mate. It's called When the Body Says No. The general premise of the book is the concept that there is a very real mind-body connection. They've actually worked out a lot of the science between how negative thought, negative emotion, negative beliefs, internal dialogue can actually translate into a negative immune function. That negative immune function can then turn into negative consequences in life, such as increased risk of cancer or autoimmune disorders or situations like that. The reason I bring that up is because one of the major... one of the really thought-provoking parts of his book that I read in there was that he says that if you did psychological screening on people and then you cross-reference that personality profile with the health problems that they develop, let's take people with autoimmune disorders. The people that are way more likely to develop autoimmune disorders have a personality type where they suppress their own needs for those of others to a fault, meaning they don't stand up for themselves, they don't respect their own needs and viewpoints, and they do for others sort of in a way to go along, to get along. And I know there's people listening out there that are thinking, yeah, that's me. That's how I am. And what I'm telling you is the research this doctor put out in this book suggests that, people think, oh, you have autoimmune disorder, that's genetic. He says, no. It's not even close, remotely genetic. It's more associated with a personality type than it is with a genetic subtype. So it's a huge thing to be able to respect your own needs, the things that you want in the world. Not that you have to not yield occasionally, but if you suppress everything about, everything you need, not respecting your own needs. There's evidence that leads to disease. It leads to worse outcomes.
And I think a lot of times those people, are building animosity for the people that they serve in their life. Right?
Yeah, it's because internal rage. It's actually rage is the way to describe
because
it.
Because you think, sometimes you think about it with it could be husband and wife, or it could be, a mom or dad with their kids. Like, I work three jobs, and don't get enough sleep and do all this, and you kids are not appreciative of what I do for you. And so it's like it's not conducive to being in a good place, even though that you're the martyr, right? You're too much of the martyr, and you're sabotaging the entire system.
Exactly. Respect yourself.
I think a basic example of that too is like when you get on an airplane, they said, they say if the oxygen mask deploy, you know, put your own mask on first before, you know, somebody else, like a child or somebody that can't, you know, help themselves, because you're not going to do, you know, the whole situation any good if you don't save yourself first so you can help somebody else. And I think the same thing happens when, you know, you don't have respect for yourself, because, you know, like I said, if you're not taking care of yourself, you know, hey, I got to go to the gym. You know, sorry, I'm not going to get to spend an extra hour with you. But, you know, looking out for your health and, you know, relieving stress and all the things that's good for you is better in some cases than, you know, just spending an extra hour, you know, picking up after people at your house, right?
Right.
So, I mean, I think it's tough to do. I mean, there's a balance there because, you know, if you go too far, you're the martyr. And if you go not far enough, then you're ignoring, you know, responsibility. So, yeah, that's a powerful thing to have, you know, to not only respect yourself, but to display it and what that means.
So I think you could also, with the term respect yourself, you could also replace respect with value yourself. And I think that would give you maybe even a slightly different perspective on that. I mean, people have intrinsic value. You don't have to have a high paying job. You can be a housewife that's raising your children as best you can. You know, you can work a you know, kind of blue collar job, but and still have value for yourself. There's no, you know, that I think that's a super important. I think it is definitely one more way to get the most out of life.
No.
What do you think about the concept of the next one, which is you must accept your flaws?
I identify with that, I think, because when I've had challenging times in my life or career, I think it's important to work on your weaknesses. But at some point, you have to accept that there are certain things that you might have a hard time changing.
Right.
Like, so I think that there's a lot of self-discovery that has to happen to make that decision. But you know, for example, it could be just aptitude in certain areas. You know, people that I know when both you and I were in college, you had people that either wanted to be a doctor or wanted to be a lawyer. And then you get a little bit in the curriculum and you're just like, hey, everybody else is whizzing through this. And, you know, I'm just struggling. You know, and if you've put the things in place to study and prepare and you're still not getting it, at some point, you have to say, hey, this is not for me. So I think that it's tough, but I think sometimes when you can truly accept the things that you're not good at, you can also self-discover your strengths and say, hey, you know, just because I'm not good at these things doesn't devalue who I am as a human. It just says, hey, you need to, we say in the military, attack in a different direction.
Right.
And I think that's what it speaks to me about. So.
Yeah. Myself personally, I don't have any flaws, so it didn't really mean much to me. But
that's what I figured. That's it.
Just kidding, not really. But anyway, no, the accepting flaws, yeah, everybody's got them, and it's sort of like we have to accept that as a baseline of our existence. You know, it's like, okay, why do we get so bent out of shape when something doesn't work out or we come up short on certain things? It's a learning opportunity, first off. That's a very stoic thing to say. It's a learning opportunity when you've come up short on something. Okay, I learned that's not the way to do that, or I'm just not good at that. I'm going to try it a different way. Or at least you've discovered another way not to do something.
And, yeah, I mean, you look at some of the most successful inventors. That's a good example. Yeah, you know, some of the people that we see as the greatest inventors have like thousands of, you know, flawed experiments that they had to go through to perfect at one time.
Now, wasn't it Edison or somebody that said, you know, you had 2,000 different tries at the incandescent light bulb and you finally got it right? Don't you feel like a failure? And he's like, no, I found like 2,000 ways it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like 2,000 ways that it isn't the right, you know, that isn't the best way, you know?
Well, so. Yeah, I think, I can't remember which Malcolm Gladwell book it was. It was either, excuse me, David and Goliath or potentially Outliers. But it talked about, it was probably David and Goliath where, you know, there was these people that became highly successful in a certain area or with a certain process. But I mean, in some cases, literally, especially with like chemo cancer treatments is one that I think was brought up in the book for especially for pediatric cases. I mean, they killed a ton of kids. You know, right. I hate to say it, but they were already, you know, essentially terminal. But I mean, think about if you're trying all these different cocktails of different drugs, and then you're quickly, you know, causing children to expire in front of their families. But they eventually worked out the cocktail, as it's known now, like the dosages, the schedule, where it had the, you know, the max toxicity to the tumors, to the cancer, without actually killing the host. And so you think about, I mean, I bet there's people who are going home crying in their hands a ton of times, you know, because they're like, Jesus, I'm, you know, I think I know what I'm doing, and I'm, you know, these kids are dying quicker than I thought. But think about how many, you know, literally millions of people that have benefited and are now still alive because of, you know, they accepted, you know, what they weren't doing right, but then went back to the drawing board. So it can be, so it can be powerful, you know, when you have flaws and when you have failures, you know.
Absolutely. The next one on the list was seek knowledge. I thought this was pretty easy because we did an entire, I think it was episode, it was in our top, it was in our first five episodes. We did a topic on lifelong learning. I'll put the link in the show notes. But I mean, for both of us, we understand the value. If you don't know what's going on in the world around you, if you're not an expert in whatever field it is you're trying to do, whatever, you know, if you're not constantly lifelong learning, you're just slipping behind. You're not going to get the most out of life.
Yeah, I think I kind of came to this realization that it was important and that I enjoyed it early on in college, because I didn't really love high school, and but I did well enough, but I wasn't motivated, because it's pretty much you don't have a lot of options in high school. I mean, there's a lot more now, I think, with a different curriculum out there. But I think that when I was able to choose what degree I wanted to do and pick classes that interested me, I really enjoyed it. And I think that that's where I made my love of learning. And it's actually, there's some character strength surveys that I've taken as part of my volunteer work mentoring through the Travis Mannion Foundation. And it's pretty cool that to see that, you know, that can actually be a character strength, that you, love of learning is a commonly accepted character strength, that, you know, just like leadership or just like perseverance, things like that. So if you love to seek out knowledge and learn, you know, different things and challenge yourself in that area, it's a true character strength. So I definitely have seen it in my life. Yeah.
I'll definitely put that in the show notes, the link to the lifelong learning episode, because I think that was, you know, we gave a lot of examples of how to learn, how to continue learning, and I know that's one that's near and dear to me and as well to you. So,
sure.
Next one on the list, and again, remember, we're going over the list of, if you want more things out of life, you have to, and the next one is burn your past. Think on that.
Yeah,
we all have one.
I think that it's important when, especially, you've had like a traumatically negative experience in your life. You know, whether it's, you know, losing a loved one, you made a mistake and lost a friendship, you lost a job. You can't dwell on it, right? Because if that clouds the decisions you make going forward and makes you not want to take risks that you know you probably should take to get to the next level, you're never going to get past it. And I think that you have to, you know, find a way to make peace with it. Similar to, you know, I think one of the big steps in the 12-step program that's so effective in, you know, addiction is to, you know, make amends. You know, in some cases we have to do that on our own, saying, hey, you know, I effed up, but, you know, I can't dwell on it. And these are the things I'm going to do moving forward to be stronger because of it. So I think it is a powerful, I guess, momentum builder if you can just move on and focus on the positive.
My days are saturated with people, you know, that I interact with. I kind of get saturated in their lives, like what's going on with them and how their life is affecting them and where their thought process is. And one of the things that I come across all the time is the concept of being present. Mm-hmm. Be present in the now, right now. When we are excessively focused on the past, that's where depression comes from. That's where regret comes from. It's over. It's done. in many situations, there's nothing we can do about that. And I think it is a very valuable lesson to, within reason, be able to burn the past, keep moving forward, have a short memory, if you will, for negative outcomes as best you can, and not focus excessively on the future. Be present. Be present with your family. Be present in your work. You know, enjoy today for what it is. You know, I all the time, it happened just the other day, there was a officer in our community that got killed in the line of duty. And it, mm-hmm. just, as soon as I heard that, I remember thinking, man, that guy got up this morning, he was thinking about his plans, maybe had vacation next week or whatever, and instead it's over, it's done. And all he had was that day. And we are all like that. You know, we I don't know, maybe mine's today, maybe it's tonight. We don't know. But the reality is, if we're excessively focused on things that are in the past, we're basically daydreaming, and we're daydreaming about the past instead of living our current present.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're going to be marginally more productive, at least daydream about things you can do in the future, for God's sakes, right?
Yeah, you know, yeah. Something positive that you could plan for.
Don't dwell on the past. I mean, daydream about, you know, crap you can change and be better tomorrow. What can you take with you and move on?
Yeah. The last one on the list, we're getting towards the end of the list of things to get more out of life, is be your own best friend. This sounded a little bit soft for me, but be your own best friend. I think in my mind, this says it says that, you know, to some extent you have to rely on yourself. You know, I think it's important to have brotherhood, friendships, family, but to some extent you've got to love yourself a little bit, I think is what it was trying to say. You have to have a little bit of self-love and willingness to just say, I'm okay to be alone, or I'm okay to be with myself, and that should be enough. I think that's a stoic thing. You don't need anything else, because the decisions about whether something is good or bad come from within you, not externally.
Yeah, I think that the first thing that came to my mind when I saw this is, you know, situations where somebody has, reacted negatively to me, or, you know, I feel like somebody's, you know, either work or even personal relationship related is trying to cut me off because of a perceived slight or something they don't like about me. So I think that there can be, maybe in a good but callous way, if you're able to, I guess, go internal, you know, in a good way. Sometimes we use the term going internal in the military is not a good thing, you know, when you're dealing with different human factors. But I think it can be a good thing when you're like, you know what, if people are going to react like that to me, you know, I don't need them anyway, and I'm going to go, you know, focus on the things that are going to make me better. And those are usually the days and the times I'm like, hey, I'm going to, you know, go look, read a book, listen to a podcast, go on a long run by myself and just think about, you know, positive things. And so I think that if you can, you know, internalize that, hey, sometimes, you know, you are all that you need, then it can be a powerful thing, I think, you know, by being able to deal with things and focus on yourself. And a lot of times I've become like a counselor to young Marines who are dealing with the first heartbreaks in their lives a lot of times. And, you know, I've told, you know, male and female Marines when they've had, you know, even a marriage breaking up, I was like, hey, the best thing you can do right now is focus on yourself. You don't focus too much on things that you know, another stoic thing. Hey, don't focus on things you can't change. Focus on how you can be better, you know, with yourself, you know, get in shape, you know, get right with God, you know, do all these things by investing in yourself. And I mean, that is going to do wonders for your self-esteem and enable you to get through those difficult situations in life.
Absolutely. Yeah. So he finishes with, life is hard, excuses are easy. Keep moving forward. Capiche. I like this. So special thanks to Ralph Napolitano. Again, he's on Twitter handle drRalphNap, N-A-P. Don't know the guy, but it seems like he's got a lot of interesting, thought-provoking ideas out there. And we appreciate him stimulating us to, you know, expand on this latest little tweet I found. Again, had a lot of stoic, you know, themes to it, which I like. And it helps us, I think it's good to reflect periodically on how you feel on some of these issues. You know, when we talk about respecting yourself, being hard on yourself, challenging yourself, seeking knowledge. I mean, we all weigh out in different ways on this scale when you look at these factors. Any final thoughts before we close tonight, Chris?
I guess it's a good reminder to use social media for good and not just for evil.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, exactly. follow people like, you know, Dr. Napolitano, on all the various platforms, and you know, fill your feed with positivity and things that make you better versus, you know, just looking at people that are have fake lives and
piss you
going,
off.
Yeah, going on vacations that you know they can't afford and with people that you know don't make them happy, but you still you're envious of it. You know, follow people that post things like this and can help you and put some good things in your life and not little bits of poison that we tend to glean from social media. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, listen, I've got lots of show notes tonight. I will put as many links to things that we talked about. So if you're interested in that, make sure you go to the WFOLifePodcast.com, check out the show notes. And we'll have some of the links to the, kind of books we talked about in various aspects of this. So have a great night, Chris.
You too. Thanks. Oh.